welcome to Can You Keep a Secret? Private conversations with public figures. And I think it's timely that we sent Carl Anthony Towns out of town. And so there's only one big cat left in the Twin Cities, and it's Tony Sané is here. Big time soccer guy, someone we've wanted to talk to for really a long time, does a ton of work with his foundation, U.S. national team. Welcome to Can You Keep a Secret? Welcome to Stillwater, Minnesota. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
How did you get the nickname the Big Cat?
Well, I went to school at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and we're the Panthers. And, you know, one day, you know, they did a story about us. And I have, like, lazy mannerisms, you know. I think people think I'm always high, right? I don't smoke, but...
That's what people think we are, too.
Yeah, okay.
But we actually are.
I'm a slow roller. So, anyway, so they did this big article, a cover story when I was in college. It said, Big Cat Out of the Bag, and it was, like, my coming out. Not literally, but... and it was just that I'm this kind of easygoing guy, but on the field, all of a sudden, I kind of become a monster, and I was athletic and quick and fast. And then, you know, it was kind of endearing. And then, you know, I went to practice the next day, and all of a sudden, you know, my boys, you know, like, meow, 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 meow. And so it kind of stuck, and then it just became kind of this endearing thing. And the younger guys at school, you know, would be like, yo, Big Cat. And then it actually died. You know, after college, it went away and it died. And then one of my best friends in the world, and he passed away this last year, Eric Stempinski, he visited me in D.C. And, you know, we're walking back from practice with the coach, and he's like, yo, Big Cat, what are we doing for lunch? And the coach, you know, Bruce Arena, he was like, Big Cat, and Big, and he might have said something else. He got in a little hot water last year, so we're going to leave that out. But anyways, and he's like, El Grande Gato, right? And so he started calling me the Big Cat, and teammates called me the Big Pussy Cat. And next thing you know, it was endearing again. So guys around the league, especially younger guys, you know, are still like, yo, Big Cat, what's going on? So it stuck.
Oh, so how did you work it out? Was it like Lou and A-Rod? How did you get Carl Anthony Towns out of town to give you the space to be the only Big Cat in town? Was that difficult to kind of orchestrate?
You know, the difference between me and you is I can keep a secret.
Right? Yeah, so nice. Touche.
I'm not gonna let that one out of the bag.
That's what we call a callback. Well done. Well, let's wind it back a little bit. So we are St. Paul guys as well. We love the 651. Mother from Gambia, is that how we say it?
No, my
father.
My mother is actually from Somerset, Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
Right across the river here. And we have a family farm still right over there. But my grandpa actually moved to Stillwater for a while, too. So we'd come here and get ice cream up on the hill over there every Sunday for years.
At what's it called, Nelson's?
Nelson's.
They don't leave you short up there.
No.
How did your parents meet? And then let's talk about St. Paul growing up playing soccer.
My dad was in Europe, so he was working in Greece, and then my mom had a summer abroad where she was traveling Europe, and then they met, and then I think they stayed in touch, and then they got married and decided to move back to Minnesota, and then. A couple years after being married, they decided to have a son or a child, and I came along. And so that's how we ended up back here. And, you know, her family is from here, and it is, like, the biggest city. Funny story about my mom is she actually, you know, at one point was going to be a nun. She was up in Crookston, Minnesota, and then she canceled that idea and then moved back to St. Paul, which was kind of the big city for the people that, you know, were raised in Somerset.
That's amazing. Wow. And now, do you have Wisconsin allegiances? You're not like a Packer fan or something.
No, when you say allegiance, I am sworn to hate them.
Okay. Good. Wow. Well, Tom's tough. Tom's
I'm
deep.
A Wisconsin native.
I'm sorry.
Wisconsin. That's okay. It adds to the fun.
He's a traitor anyways. He wouldn't even follow his partner to buy a soccer team, I heard.
Well, I don't have the money he does, so that was one of the reasons.
What was it like, St. Paul Academy, All-State a couple times? How, you know, what you've been through, it must be very interesting for you to watch. You were at the height of soccer when they were still figuring it out, kind of pre-MLS and then MLS and national team. What was your high school soccer experience like here at SPA?
You know, we had a good group, of friends, and it was like SPA was one thing, but I think some people know and some people don't, but our under 19, which is the equivalent of our AAU team, won the national championship from St. Paul, by the way.
Was that the Blackhawks?
The Blackhawks, yeah. So we had, a bunch of kids, that lived in St. Paul and went to St. Agnes and Holy Spirit, Highland Central, St. Thomas, Creighton, and we just all stuck together. And so, not that people recruited, but a lot of us ended up at SPA. And
I was going to ask, how'd you get there?
Well, so my brother was maybe a little bit brighter than me.
Yeah.
And so he got offered a scholarship to go. He was going to Webster Magnet School because he was, gifted. And then St. Paul Academy recruited him, in second grade because he was a smart kid. And then so summertime came, and my mom was a social worker, so she wanted to put us in summer school. And I was behind in English because I had gone to visit my grandparents in Africa and stayed for 2 years. And by today's rules, they kidnapped me, actually. They wouldn't send me back, and they kept cashing in the plane tickets. And it's funny, but it's really not. But
by today's rules, it's kidnapping.
Yeah. Back then, they just took the plane ticket and went and cashed it in for money. And so I ended up staying for 2 years. And then so I was a little bit behind in English. And so my mom put me in summer school where I could get English class to catch up. And my brother was in classes, and we were doing something productive in the summer. And I had a gap during the middle of the day. And so my mom signed me up for soccer class. And I'm like, Mom, people don't go to soccer class. And she's like, well, you're not going to do nothing, so you are. So I go to soccer class, and this guy, Buzz Lagos, who's a teacher at SPA, is teaching this class. And he's like, wow. He goes, where did you learn to play soccer? And I was like, oh, I was in the Gambia when I was a little kid. And he's like, would you like to play on a team? And I was like, I'll ask my mom. So I went and asked my mom, and we went out and bought me a pair of cleats, and I played on the Blackhawks, and I met another, his son was Manny Lagos, and we were 11 years old, and, we became best friends and, played on the Blackhawks together. Then I ended up transferring in seventh grade to SPA. I went to Sacred Heart back then in St. Paul, and then, we ended up being lifelong friends.
Wow. So it was almost just a birth year. It was just a group of guys, a special group of kids that were playing together that...
Yeah, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the coach, right? Mm-hmm. I think, the coach, whether we were the Bad News Bears or whatnot, the coach brought people together and taught us the value of a team, working hard, in today's society, people aren't willing to really accept their roles, right? Everyone needs to be Jordan. And in our team, it was everyone has a role and we're going to win. And it didn't matter what position you played, you were valuable, but that was your job. Mm-hmm. So we just, our group of kids, we stuck together. We liked each other. We defended each other, and we kind of grew up together. And I think, sorry to interrupt, but that's the one thing that's wrong with sports now. When you're high school is the best version of professional because you got to walk around embarrassed, right? Like AAU, it's a higher level, but you don't have the same pressure. But in soccer, you're going to do whatever you can to help your friend, right? But now everyone switches teams and stuff like that. So I'm not going to leave my man because what if I go over there and he passes to my man and the stat sheet's going to say my man scored more points. Mm-hmm. When it's kids from your block, you don't care about your man. It's you help the next guy and someone will help you. And that is the ultimate, what a pro is. They do whatever it takes to win. I think today is because of kids shuffling so much, it's individualistic, and then it's really hard to teach becoming a team player.
That's a good point. What, when you were at SBA, so you had a state championship, right, high school-wise? Yeah. And then you also had a national tournament?
Well, our summer team. So it would be the equivalent of today's, AAU team.
Okay.
So our AAU team was national champs.
Were you guys state champions, SBA?
Well, SPA was.
Okay.
Yes, but, my summer team or my AAU.
So you had a great group.
Yeah, we had a good group.
Yeah. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So all that, what do you remember some things that, I love this picture of these kind of brothers playing together from the block that would do anything for each other compared to the transfer portal, right? Everybody there was a youth hockey, I don't know if you saw this, a youth hockey team did a lineup sheet, and it had all the where all the summer teams were. It was almost like a college.
Oh, I got you.
Who they were drafted with at the Pee Wee level, right? So you think of highlights and what's going to be on my social media, quarterbacks that have played on four different teams before they graduate. What were the messages that, that those coaches were giving you back then?
You know, I think they were, they gave us messages like, be honest, work hard, right? It's going to pay off. You know, don't look for, you know, the quick fix. And, you know, we believed it. And as we got older, we got better and better.
That's awesome. So I want to talk a couple. I'm just curious that you went, you know, you've seen it all, you know, from MLS success to national team, World Cups. You kind of, you've been in Europe. if you were kind of thinking through national team, European, you know, Germany, some of the leagues when before the MLS, how different was the experience? I mean, were you in, you know, buses with soggy subs, and then all of a sudden you were in the Ritz-Carlton? What's kind of some of the different player experiences?
Well, I think when in college, you know, I kind of left college. I went to Europe, and then I got hurt, and I came back, and I went back to school, and I played indoor soccer. Mm-hmm. So indoor soccer is the closest thing to like rookie baseball, right? Like, you know, you're making $500 to $2,500 bucks a month. You're traveling in vans. You know, you're playing in barns, and it is what it is, right? And so, and then, you know, I moved up, and they had this sort of AAA ball that we played in that was still better, but you know, you're flying, you know, coach, and you know, you're getting like $12 meal per diem, and that's still like your biggest paycheck.
Right.
And then, you know, you go to the MLS where it starts, and it's different for the different teams, but you're playing in big stadiums, and you know, I think it's different because, you know, some guys are making, you know, $700,000, some guys are making $24,000. And then I went to Europe, and you know, you saw everything. So it was a lot like baseball because, you know, a guy would make $5 million, another guy would make $30,000 because he might be on his, like, AAA contract. But the things surrounding you definitely were different. You know, like, in a city like Berlin is like, you know, it's like New York City, so you could go to eat where you wanted to, you know. we could just pull our cars up in front of the restaurant and kind of leave them in the street and go in and eat and come back, and you know, the police came, you'd come outside and he'd be like, hey, how you doing? And oh yeah, you were in here, and good luck this weekend. And
it wasn't like that on the Milwaukee Wave.
No, it wasn't.
What is a wave in Milwaukee, by the way? Is that a person waving to you across
the street?
No,
it's a wave. Is that their logo? I've seen their logo.
The Milwaukee Wave. Yeah, they don't get to park in front of the restaurant.
No, they don't. They don't.
No. I have a question. So you start out DC United, you win a couple MLS Cups in a row, and then you go to Europe. So was it almost like at that point with MLS, was it like, yeah, this is great, but kind of dominating the level, or you know, I want to go over to Europe and you know, go to the big leagues? Was it still that mentality back then, or because you really had a lot of success right out of the gates? I'm just curious about. Is that what players did?
Not as much. And, you know, I was pretty headstrong. So when MLS started, you know, I went to the combine and I'm like, okay, like, I'm as good as anybody here. And they had this formula which they would pay you, right? And I'm like, I'm not going to go and, like, play for $24,000 a year. Because I would just take a chance, right, and go somewhere else. And back then it was harder to play in Europe a lot of times because you could only have three foreigners, so you had to be like the top people on the team. So it wasn't like you could just go easily. So I was like talking to MLS, and they wouldn't sign me to anything. And I'm like, well, I knew I was going to be in like the top 10 players drafted. And so I basically held out. And then they wanted to make an example out of me because it was a single entity. And it wasn't until DC United started to lose, like, the first six games that Bruce Arena, like, he just argued and said, well, it's our money, let us pay him more. And, you know, it kind of threw off that single entity structure. So, you know, I had a 3-year contract, and they're like, well, once you play, we'll pay you more. And so I played all the games, scored, you know, a goal in the first championship, and came to redo my contract, and they were like, we'll give you a 5-year contract with $5,000 more guaranteed. I'm like, no. And they're like, well, the years don't mean anything. I'm like, well, then why do you want them? So I was like, I'm going to just – so the second year I played it out, and this second year I scored the game-winning goal in the championship, and we do great. So we're entering the third year, and I'm going to sign a newer contract. But we had a really good team. So, you know, I would say, like, I was, you know, somewhat like a Dennis Rodman. You know, not the crazy part, but, like, I was an all-star role player, right? Like, you know, like, I knew my job, and I was as good as anybody else, right? But I wasn't Jordan. And so I looked around. I'm like, I think I'm the best at my position in the league, and but I understand that I have to take somewhat of a concession because we had like 7 of those on our team. And at the end, we were arguing over like 5 or 10,000, and I got hurt. And I just, you know, I literally went to upstairs to the coach's office every day at practice, and I took out the VHSs and the DVDs, and I made a little video of myself.
Like playing. A highlight, your own personal highlight reel?
I made a highlight reel, yeah.
Sizzle reel.
And then I gave it to this lawyer here, you know, it was Mr. Mark, and I'm actually friends with his son, Donnie, now. And there's this guy, Neil Roberts, that played soccer here, and they basically shopped it around to some teams. And, you know, the teams were like, you know, and first of all, I was like, I want to go to Holland. I hate Germany. And I hated Germany because I was a Brazilian soccer fan. And I hated Germany, and I hated France because I was a Brazilian soccer fan. And so they sent it to like 10 teams in Holland and 3 teams in Germany. And all 3 teams in Germany called back and said, we want them. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go to Germany. And then they're like, well, Berlin's a different city. You know, they're top 3 in the league now. They're coming up. It's international. And, you know, so, you know, I said, okay, I'll consider it. And then we said, well, what would this look like? And they said, well, if it's in the video, like, we would make an offer. And then so the day after the championship game in LA, I red-eyed to Berlin, and I practiced with them for 2 days just to do a physical because I was injured that year. So they're like, are you back? And the first day of practice, you know, I'm a big guy, right? And so like I'm going to the practice, and I'm like, okay, like I can do this, like no one's better, and you know, I'm fine. And then, you know, the next day of practice, like this little guy just kept kicking the shit out of me. And I kept looking at the coach, and he was just like shrugged and looked at, and finally I was like, you know what, like I don't care who these guys are, like no one's gonna punk me. So I just started manhandling people, right? And I'm big. I started grabbing people, throwing them to the ground. Anytime I kicked the ball, I'd kick through somebody and just be super aggressive. After the practice, they took me for a shooting practice, go shower. My agent's waiting. You know, he's like, how'd it go today? I'm like, oh, it was shitty. I'm like, these guys were kicking me. And so I just started beating everybody up. And he goes, well, you must have done something. The coach came inside and said, anybody that fights like that is going to be on his team. And so we can go home tomorrow and they'll send us a contract in the mail.
Oh, that's outstanding.
That is great.
That's amazing. What was the best life experience city you ever played in? So take the soccer aside, like just from a
Berlin.
Man, this is no joke.
Berlin.
So what set the scene for us? What's you know, if
well,
we're
in Berlin, we're in a Champions League team. Yep. So one, you know, if how your sports are going, that's a lot, right? So it's one of the major cities in the world. Everything in Europe was moving their center there. Huge nightlife. I may or may not have owned a bar in Berlin. And it was like all the American players kind of would go there. So like a lot of North Carolina basketball players played for the basketball team there. One of the Broughton brothers actually lived in my building.
Nice.
From the Iceburn. They had a hockey team there.
Okay.
And so, you know, we were, you know, and I went from, you know, making 70,000 to 700,000 and playing on a Champions League team, in a city with amazing nightlife and this was, you know, it was the Yankees of that city. And by the way, there was nothing else, except, you know. So it was fun. And I was, you know, single, and it was fun.
I bet it was.
Sounds pretty fun.
I want to do the national team a little bit. You know, 2002 World Cup, you played every minute, had a really great run with the U.S. team. What was your experience like? I think you played 43 games. Really positive national team experience as a whole, or what was that? How different is, I guess, USA soccer?
It was positive. I think, you know, I had some injuries that kind of, hurt me at certain times. Being from Minnesota, I think I got into the fold a lot later than most people would have. And, you know, even though I was injured, I wanted to be on the 98 team, and I think I could have helped. Once Bruce Arena was the coach, I had won championships with him, for him, in D.C., so he trusted in me. It was hard because my European teams didn't let me come back, so I didn't get to play, like, in all these friendly games that didn't mean anything, and sometimes even important games I'd have to skip. But, you know, it's amazing when you're playing for your country. It was sometimes harder playing in America because you'd have more foreign fans. You do it all for one moment, and that's, you know, when they're singing the national anthem during the World Cup, you know, in front of a billion people. So, you know, people say, like, how was it? I'm like, I don't want to swear, but it was awesome. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, it was, you know, I wouldn't trade anything for it. It was...
But that's like the pinnacle.
That's, you know...
Like, that's it.
If you were in constant orgasm forever, that's it.
Like, John just actually stopped having an orgasm.
Yeah,
so
I had a brief one this morning in the shower. But the Can You Keep a Secret is sponsored by Sheldon Frank with Summit Mortgage. I actually built a house and financed it through Sheldon. It's not easy. Every situation's different. Sheldon has seen it all. He'll guide you through what can be a daunting process, everything from interest rates, should I do it now, should I refinance. He doesn't make mistakes. If you're looking to buy a house in Minnesota or Wisconsin, reach out, get pre-approved. Call Sheldon Frank, 612-232-1872, Summit Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 1041, is an equal housing opportunity lender. I want to talk about style of play because, you know, we do a lot of hockey, and Minnesotans watching soccer, sometimes they're trying to figure out how it all, because it's kind of similar in some ways but different in others. And one of the things I remember when I was watching U.S. national team, they always seemed like they were tough. Like, they're not going to lay on the ground and get taken off on a stretcher and pop back up on the sideline. I even think the guy you played with, I remember, like, maybe Dempsey just having, like, blood on his face. And is that kind of a mentality for U.S. soccer? Like, this isn't a Broadway play here. Like, if you went down, I got to assume you got a problem. You're not just going down to do the pantomime of soccer.
No, and matter of fact, one time against Mexico, I got, like, kind of elbowed my chin and went down, and I was like, where's that guy? And I tried to get up, and my friend was like, just stay down. Your eyes are in the back of your head. But I think we were that way. I don't know if we're that way right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I noticed a difference, because that era when you played, I just remember seeing our guys had, like, blood on their jerseys. We were kind of hard scrabble, like underdogs and tough and blue collar. And you think it's changed with the mentality?
I do. I think, you know, as we maybe become overall maybe technically better, I think when I look back at the team I was on, and people, the old guys were going to say the same, but Thierry Henry just said, he goes, how many players of today would have actually played on our team? The difference, we decided at some point that if you were going to beat us, you had to beat us. Mm-hmm. And we weren't going to show you the respect. We were going to go toe-to-toe because we could run faster, harder, and fight, you know. And if you could beat us, then you could beat us. And so it was just a different mentality. We weren't going to, you know, try to out-finesse you. We were going to make you beat us. And then you have one or two special players do something, and you got a great team. But I think it's always been part of, like, this American philosophy of, this country was built on people working hard. And I think for a long time our national team was that way. I don't know if they have the same reputation today, and I don't want to be the old man hating. You know, I just know that our team, you know, ran through the wall for each other. I think it was a good coach that made that possible. And, you know, if you didn't do it, you weren't going to play.
Who's the best you, kind of a two-part question. Best American player, you said kind of some it was special, you know, that you ran across in your career. And then opposition, did you ever just play against anyone where you're like, that's going to be a problem, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, my worst day in soccer, I played this guy against Argentina, Zanetti, and he was super good. The issue really was, like, I was on summer break and gained 5 pounds and went out in D.C. till, you know, 4 o'clock the night before. And this guy went out running, and it was just the longest day of my life. And it was like 105 on a D.C. Sunday. And he was a world-class player. But we've played against a lot of guys, and you know Messi's, Ronaldinho, and so you know everyone you know is different in their own mind. You know, with the U.S., I always say like my favorite teammate was Chris Armas, and he was like a hardworking like defensive midfielder, you know, and he was just someone that you can count on. You know, we've had great players. I think you know Landon will go down as one of our greatest players in history. You know, I don't. You know, when you pick your teams, though, you know, statistically, he would have it. When you pick your teams, you know, it's a rough race up there. You know, Brian McBride was, you know, a different kind of player, and Clint Dempsey would run through a wall for you, and just different kind of teammates as well. So different personalities.
Dempsey was the guy that always had blood on him. It wasn't McBride, I think.
Well, I got a question. Like, so from a pure competition standpoint, take out the skill part, was there any players that you disliked? Like when you played them, you were amped up to like, you know what I mean? Like hockey has guys that will play against each other and you know it's going to be a barn burner. Was there ever a competitor that you would get ready for and make sure he knew you were there?
I mean, you know, like Kobe Jones, like it was more of a friendly rivalry, but you know they were in the generation before, and like his group of guys and Alexi and stuff, they were not that much older than me, but they had come on the scene a lot longer, so it was really like, you know, you'd make it a point, you know, to try to earn your stripes back and let them know like you know we're not on the playground of middle school anymore, and like the past didn't matter. You know my one-on-one matchups, like physically I was pretty strong, so I wasn't all like super worried,
right?
You know about it. You know, but you would play like a guy like Valderrama. Like you, would, like everybody had to watch out for him, right? And like he'd have the ball, and you'd like run at him and try to just nail him, and he would just sidestep you, and you'd be like, "What? Wait, what happened?" So,
and you played with, was Beckham on your Galaxy team in 2009?
Beckham was on my Galaxy team.
I watched that documentary, which was amazing. Did you watch the?
Yeah.
The funniest thing ever is when Ronaldo's like, yeah, he was going through a hard time, so we took him out a little bit for a couple of weeks. I'm like, that's the perfect influence when you're going through some stuff. But what was he like as a player and as a dude?
I mean, I think as a player, he was, you know, again, he was like a Dennis Rodman, right, with the jump shot, right? He was a hard worker. Incredible passer, great vision, but again, like a world-class role player, honest player on the field. I mean, as a guy on the field, it was different because he was, you know, he was one of those guys like Jordan, like, you know, he was bigger off the field than he was on the field, right? You know, when you have personal security with you all the time and your own private, you know, you want to drive, but he's got to drive a car behind you no matter where you go, and but he was a good guy and worked hard and really gave a lot to the sport.
What do you think of the state of the MLS today with you know Messi in Miami, you know, Beckham's an owner? I mean, how do you think soccer evolves in the U.S.?
Well, I think you know in the past it was all TV contracts, right? So we'll see how that grows, but. You know, we have a special opportunity because when we're on, we're not on in Europe. So when we bring the stars here, we have that availability to raise money, which allows us to buy better players. And you're starting to see a new generation that's growing up with the sport. So I think it's great. And I think, you know, I think before, you know, we wanted to be, we wanted to compete with the NFL, but then we'd say we don't have the money, right? And now we're starting to splash cash and doing everything, you know, top shelf, which is what the consumer wants, right? They want to, they want superstars. They want, you know, they want that. And the level on the field is improving.
Yeah, I mean, the Loons is great. I mean, I went to the Loons game this year and I had a blast, and great park and arena. And I think the business side of MLS is really booming.
Yeah, they got a good beer garden too.
They have a great beer garden. Spent a little time there.
Yeah. You can go in there anytime you want.
Yeah.
I bet you can. I bet you watched most of the game from the beer garden.
It was pretty close.
I usually go in on the 35-minute mark because, you know, I'm from St. Paul, so all my friends, I say, go in the beer garden right side. You know, I leave my seats 35 minutes, go there, get a seat, and then, you know.
Have a few?
I have a few, and sometimes I make it back to my seat.
Well, then you'll know this place, but right across, we went right across to the bar there. I can't remember what it was called, but it was like, you know, I mean, like you come out of the beer garden area, and it was right, you know, almost on University. Is that what I'm thinking of? There's a bar there.
I don't know.
It was great. They had a band and.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what it was called, but we had a blast. We had a really good time.
No, it's good. We'll do one last soccer question that I just want to. The main reason we're excited to have you here, you've had a great soccer career, but you're a Renaissance man with the foundation. We got to talk a little St. Paul, too, but this. This young buck, Christian, he's got a documentary coming out about himself. I guess he's the next great hope for U.S. soccer, as Donovan before him, et cetera. What do you make of him as a player? And have you watched him a lot? Is that something to be excited about? Is it different?
I think he's a lot like Landon. You know, I think what's hard in this country is, you know, we pump up potential so much that it's hard to keep up. And, you know, up until this year, he never had played, you know, regularly, right? So he never was like a 100% starter. Now, he played on a couple of world-class teams, which made it hard, but he still wasn't ever on a team that he played every day. I think this year he's having like a breakout year in a league that's really, it's a tough league to play in as a forward, and he's finding a unique spot. So I do think, you know, your surroundings do matter. I think he's got the physical attributes too. Again, it's consistency, it's time, and you know, you can have 3 good years, 4 good years and then be gone. But you know, right now, if he's on his game, I think he's definitely one of the top 3 American players. We have a couple other good ones as well, but he's got a bright future, and one of the few players that I would say has a real chance of being an everyday player for a world-class team.
Yeah, with the World Cup coming to the U.S. too, I hope there's a, you know, another moment where it just really, you know, becomes part of the, you know, it's the biggest game in the world, but to really, like you said, NFL kind of mentality would be amazing to see. It does seem like the younger kids, like my kids and the people that work at Pultab, like people under 30, they want to be a soccer fan almost more than they want to be a football fan or a hockey fan. They have kind of that international mindset that's more interesting maybe to be a soccer fan. So if they can tap into that Gen Z, millennial, I mean, it could be NFL-like.
I agree.
So let's do a little St. Paul because, you know, you're born and raised. Like, what are some of your spots? Are you like a Mancini's guy? Do you
my first job was at Mancini's.
It's the best.
That bread, maybe a little tomato on top, some Italian dressing.
You know, when I was a bus boy, we used to go get the soft serve and we'd make every kind of float you can imagine. I mean, that was the best part of the job, like free floats.
So if you have to go top couple St. Paul places, I mean, Mancini's, I believe everyone should go to Mancini's at least once a month just for your well-being. What are some of your other spots? You have any bars you love? Or like if you had to have your birthday somewhere in St. Paul, where are you headed?
In St. Paul, you know, I'm not like a crazy go out, and if I like something, you know, I like something, you know. You know, I'll still sneak to Tiff's down the street from my just to,
to get a great spot.
Burger and watch a game. You know, I kind of grew up at the Wild Onion, but it's no longer there. So I used to hang out there. You know, Lexington, I still, is a great place to go, you know, get a bite to eat or drink or just meet a buddy for a little quieter, not crazy. You know, Sweeney's is a little bit underrated. You can still go and rough it up a little bit and have a good time and just be yourself there as well. And then, you know, I, even though it's, you know, franchise, I like me a Red Cow burger. And beer.
Good spot.
So I'm pretty regular. Regular.
Those are good spots. Those are all good spots.
Yeah, that wasn't a difficult one for you to answer. You had about eight spots.
I was going to say, what about Plums? Ever spent any time at Plums back in its heyday?
Back in its heyday, it was at Plums. I might have lost a few IDs there.
Were you a Grand Old Day guy? Would you do the Grand Old Day?
I'm not really like a lot of people guy. So every once in a while, I would go, but not like spending the whole day, you know.
O'Gara's was a good one before.
Yeah, that was
away.
A great spot.
Yes.
Gone.
Yeah. Unless you're at the State Fair, you can get loose there at the State Fair. They got a little bar there.
Oh, they still do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can You Keep a Secret is sponsored by Lunch Bucket Hockey. Lunch Bucket Hockey players are the hardworking, heart and soul, grit guys. These are the energy guys. These are the glue guys. The perfect teammate. They don't need to be the biggest star. They're the guys that keep the team together, both on the ice and afterwards at the bar. From Mite to beer leagues and everywhere in between, Lunch Bucket players are the unsung heroes of the greatest game on ice. Now, there's an apparel and lifestyle brand celebrating these pillars of the sport. Get the gear to match the grind with Lunch Bucket Hockey hats, hoodies, tees, custom jerseys. Check out lunchbuckethockey.com. today. We're also sponsored by Stoli Vodka. Looking for a smooth vodka to mix into your cocktails? Look no further than Stoli Vodka. Distilled with the finest European source grains, Stoli is perfect for mixing into cocktails or savoring on the rocks. With a wide range of flavors, Stoli offers something for everyone. Pick up a bottle of Stoli Vodka today at your local liquor store. So I got to tell you my Tony story. So I'm at the girls' high school state tournament last year. Believe it or not, we're at a bar called Zamboni's, which I think is the old Eagle Street across the street. It's the same night as your gala for goals. So I got all these high school...
.com if you want to check it out.
Oh, no, we're going to get into this because I need to know more about this event. So I'm sitting at Zamboni's with all these quarter zip dorks, you know, watching hockey, got buttons on our shirts. All of a sudden, bar just starts filling with, I don't know if the Kardashians are in town for a party. It's the most well-dressed, colorful, vibrant. I'm like, what is happening right now? What party did I miss? Are the Golden Globes in St. Paul? I told Lou, I'm like, what? I got to go to this thing. What? Tell me about, obviously the foundation is near and dear to your heart. We're going to get into what you do there, but we got to start with, is this the best night ever? I've never seen more good looking people it was amazing.
I will tell you this. The gala doors open at 5 o'clock and the after party inside the gala starts at 9 after the program. And we have to kick about 500 people out at 11:30. And then we all end up at Zamboni's till 2. And I'll keep the rest off the record. But it is a great time to celebrate all the work we do. You see every age from young to old, you know, every demographic of person. And it's just people having a good time. And, you know, me and Sam were talking about this today, you know, doing good. But we just decided that, you know, we weren't going to have a rubber chicken dinner and give some corny speeches. We're going to celebrate the stuff we do. And pretty soon, like, I would be like, hey, will you bring somebody? Will you bring somebody? So people came doing us a favor. And once they got there, they're like, oh, I've been missing this? Like, why haven't I been here? Because everyone they knew was there. And it's just... it's fun. We've just really tried to look at what people do really well, but, you know, concentrate on fun. And, you know, early on, I sold, so I think beer might be the key to everything.
Yeah. it is here.
Yeah. Early on, in the first year that I did it, you know, I sold a ticket for $45. And it meant like it was like sort of a eat on your own, you know, so you could eat dinner on your own and you could still come to the gala without a meal, and be at the reception and the program and everything. And it was open bar and do that. So a lot of people came because they were like, they didn't want to, they couldn't afford this big, you know, expensive thing, but they still wanted to contribute. So they would come there. And, you know, some people say, like, the top front three rows are going to donate 90% of the money. They're going to donate a lot more when there's 18 rows behind them. And they're going to donate even more when those 18 rows are filled with good-looking, fun people. So
this crowd, Tom, I
know you're talking about it.
I don't even think I could go. I'd have to get, like, a monocle or, like, a lined sport coat. Like, it would...
You got this.
It would take me months. Top hat, like I don't even know. Facial hair, like these people
You could figure it out.
They were knockouts, and it was just such. It was the contrast between the girls' state high school hockey tournament.
Be careful there.
I love hockey, but like it was awesome. So tell us about the foundation because it's a big one. I know you assist youth. You do everything from education to athletics and everything else, but. How do you talk about the foundation and what are you most proud of in terms of that role?
You know, I'm most proud that we're still here, you know, 15 years later, that we're still growing and sustainable. I think people think like it's like the hardest part is to keep going, right? Like you can always do something for a little bit, right? But to keep going and keep growing and seeing the people that we've hired and watching them mature over time is the best. You know, our initially it was about kids and we want to empower, improve, unite, help kids through education, building community, and really through sports and leadership, which is often doesn't get the same acclaim it should, and build and uniting communities. Then we realized if we hired out of the same community, we were going to get better results. So then it became kind of wraparound services for the kids, for the family of the kids that we're serving. So now it's a holistic organization. We have some 42 mentors in 15 public schools. We hire about 200 kids in the summertime, summer jobs, free sports camps. We've added pickleball to it in case you want to play.
That's great.
That's my new jam.
I like pickleball.
And so we'll do basketball, flag football, pickleball, soccer. And then, you know, we have the community center itself, and we built the sports dome, the largest dome in Minnesota. Batting cage, softball, soccer, flag football, lacrosse. We did have to get rid of our rink. We did partner for a while. And we had a miniature, you know, rink out there.
Studio rink.
But every once in a while in the summer, we take the kids to the Trier Center. So we partner and they let the kids skate. And then, you know, during COVID, we looked for more ways to help families. And we started to get into the food business. And now we deliver about 3 million pounds of food a year. So really just trying to, you know, show up for people that just need a little support, and times can be tough, and you know, using the old teach a man to fish, and so getting people jobs that help, that do good for the community while they're developing.
And you guys run the Conway Community Center. You kind of took that. So how's that going? That's an exciting project.
Yeah, you know, we signed a long-term lease with the city, and we put about $13 million into it, and built up the field, the dome, and we have a gaming center and a science center, and you know, free childcare. I can't call it childcare, but free, you know, services for youth in the summer and after school, and just in senior services. So just a vibrant part of that community, which kind of was closed for a while. So it's just someplace on the east side where families and kids can go to learn and kind of just be together. Back, you know, when we grew up, like people say, what time? You know, first of all, you know, kids haven't changed. Like, we changed. Like, when I said, what time did you have to be home when you were a kid?
Right? Well, I didn't even. My parents never even went to a game of mine. I rode my bike home from sports.
Right. So, but it was like, okay, you got to be home for dinner when it's dark, right?
When it got dark,
right? Now, like, parents got GPS on their kids, and they're watching them play, right, and stuff. So, you know, kids haven't changed. We've changed. And so we're trying to have somewhere where kids can just get dropped off and, like, be kids and develop. And that's the kind of atmosphere we're doing, because, you know, kids will learn the most from each other.
How do people get involved with the foundation? If someone's listening to this, or whether they want to be a worker and help, or maybe they want to sponsor, what would you tell them to do to get oriented?
I would say you can visit our website, or it might be easier on social media too. Just look up the Sana Foundation. You know, we're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or thesanafoundation.org. There should be ways to, you know, send a direct message to us, or volunteer links as well. So we, you know, because of the food, we need a lot of volunteers. So that's a great way just to get to know us. If you want to come and learn more about what we do, we'll set up a tour with you. And it's also a great place. You know, we do free summer camps for up to 8,000 kids. So if you have youth or families that want services that are affordable, meaning free, you know, look us up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Got to hear from our sponsors. Actually, I just gave Tony a pair of these Chill Boys pickleball bamboo boxers because he loves pickleball, and they got their new design, the Dink Shot. They got their new design for golf called the Caddy, because no one's better to have on your bag than Chill Boys. Life-changing underwear. Don't put your balls in a Velcro wallet. Get some good underwear. Spend a little bit of money and take care of your family jewels. Check them out at their website, Chill Boys. Use PULLTAB15 for a discount. Speaking of youth, you got a baby on the way. You decided to mix that in? Just decided to mix in a small one here?
Yeah, I got a lot of free time, so I decided to have a kid.
So when is the baby due?
The baby is due, the baby is set to come out December 18th or 19th right now.
Exciting.
Well, you're in the you got to watch your phone.
I got to watch my phone.
Well, congratulations, yeah, first really of great. All. And as I understand, a boy?
It's a boy. And
How are you exploring the naming? Are you taking that on? Is this going to be Ronaldinho, Ronaldo? Like, are you doing the naming, or is someone else involved?
The name, we decided the name is going to be named after my brother.
Nice.
My dad had the same name, I'm naming him after my brother Michael. So he'll be a Michael.
Well, congratulations.
Good name.
We'll have to send you a cigar. And you have a club. So I got to hear about this Ava. North Loop Lounge. I was explained that this was the Studio 54 of Minneapolis, which is a pretty good door opener, in my opinion. So what's this Ava all about, and what's your involvement, allegedly?
Allegedly. Well, you know, years ago, after the World Cup, I was standing in lines for this bar called The Lounge. And, like, literally, I came back for a break, and the owner saw me standing there and says, "You were just in the World Cup last week. What are you standing in line?" "Oh, I'm back with my friend." He's like, "Whenever you come in town, just reach out to me. I'll take care of you. And wherever you go, because I know the bar scene." So I become best friends with this guy, Ben, and he ends up opening up another bar called Tangiers. And then he's a Tottenham soccer fan. So we always talked about opening a soccer, you know. And we just decided we wanted to do something together. So eventually he's like, you know, soccer bar is not open right now, but we could, you know, join forces here. So when we say join forces, he means, like, let me tag along. Yeah. So he opened a bar that I could say that I was part owner. He did a great job, and it's incredible. And, you know, like, that kind of dress that you saw there, you know, you could find that there. But it's just a place where I think, you know, after COVID, people were missing dancing. It's got, you know, a great DJ and lights and disco balls. And so a lot of people come just to dance and have a good time. But it's got this, you know, New York, Miami feel. People get dressed up a little bit to go have fun still.
When you can get your moniker and your top hat.
You can practice. Yeah.
Well, that's the recipe. Girls love to dance. So if you have a place that's a dance place, then the guys are going to go there because the guys love girls. I mean, it's the same recipe for the last 1,000 years. So this is the one spot, basically, to dance in Minneapolis, right?
If you want to go and hear good music and dance and be safe and have fun, this is the spot to go to.
The only problem, Tony, with all of your cool stuff, I just picture myself walking into any of these environments, and it's just like a record scratch. Like, I come in, I got, like, I gotta change my vibe, because you can do the slow roll cool, you know, although you do play pickleball, so that's kind of, you know, that's...
What are you trying to say?
I don't know, pickleball's a little, you know...
I got to hook you up with our buddy who's CEO of USA Pickleball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'd help you guys out if you needed stuff.
Are you just a monster pickleballer? Like, I saw on your Instagram, it looked like you were on a podium every time I saw a picture. So are you a dominant, is the big cat roaming the courts?
Well, I like to play with people better than me. So, but I am pretty competitive, and I want to get really good. You know, so
do you have like a rating or like
doubles better?
Doubles. My knees aren't.
Yeah, really doubles good. Is fun. Have you played?
I do like it. Yeah, I haven't like played a lot.
I started late, but I like it.
It seems like an awesome sport. Yeah. I mean, I've only played a handful of times.
Singles sucks, you know, but doubles is good.
Humphreys and Cheryl's, they're both big pickleball players too, so those are some other local athletes that play.
Well, we all the Wild guys, so we helped open. You might have played there. You ever play at the Heights in Mendota?
I haven't yet.
So you'd really like Sheldon runs it, Sheldon Vaz. And they also have padel.
Okay.
Multiple courts of that game. So all the European NHLers and the Wild players are big into pickleball and paddle. So it's an amazing club. Squash. It was the old Commodore was maybe going to close in St. Paul, and these guys were panicking that they were going to lose their club, and they took a warehouse and made this place called the Heights. It's close to you. You would like it a lot. It's a nice place. We launched them last year, but they're kind of – I think they already got their members and they're kind of rolling. But how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good. You know, visited some friends, and my mom goes to visit my brother, came back, and then, you know, we kind of host the stragglers. So, you know, I got a lot of young people that are working for me or just friends around town. And believe it or not, at this age, I got another half of my friends that are divorced. So they come over for drinks and food late night. But, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for.
For sure. What do you like to do on the weekends? Like, what's, you know, I mean, a little pickleball. I see you play for Brits. I don't know if that's still a real thing. Does Brits have a soccer team? And you?
They do have a soccer team. You know, when I first retired, you know, they were like, come play with us. You know, Monday night, it's Old Timers League. And so I went to play, and I realized I was the youngest guy on the team. And then they were like, they expected me to do all the running, and I'm like, guys, like, I got paid to run. I'm not going to run for you. But a great group of guys, and I got to get back there. I'm thinking about I should ask to be their assistant coach because I don't have to be as consistent. But the good thing about that is you get to go to Brits and you get a pint after every game.
Yeah, that's good.
That place is great.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a great spot.
Anything we didn't ask you that you want to talk about? Because this is exactly what we wanted. I mean, we got
awesome
dance clubs, and we're slow rolling through your career, and I think you're going to invite us to the gala probably. You know, it seems like it. Seems like you enjoyed yourself. Yeah, and we'll get maybe.
At the beer garden for
you
sure.
Just leave the back door open. Leave the back door open.
Or we just meet at Zamboni's.
Yeah, that'll be easier for us.
Do you hear that? Or you could just do what you did last year.
It's pool or pond. Would be good for you.
You could see us walk by.
If you invite me to the Heights and I can play pickleball, then you can come to the game.
I'll get you to the Heights and I'll trade you for something. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You. It's awesome.
A legend, doing great things. Please check out the Sané Foundation. Get involved. It's rare that somebody does something that good for as long as they have and have kind of open their doors to change the model to whatever was needed by the people. So check them out. Thank you so much for being here. This has been Can You Keep a Secret?
If you like what you heard today and you want to support the Sané Foundation, go to thesanefoundation.org. That's SANNEH foundation.org. And if you want to go to the party of the year, check out Gala for Goals, GALA number 4, goals.com. Thanks for the work you do, Tony.
We can't play this.